Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Charlotte Tuggle. This week, Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton is our guest. Mayor Barton, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. If you have a question for Mayor Barton, you can call it in by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question at WBAA News on Twitter. So, Mayor Barton, did we use the right term? Are Crawfordsville residents Crawfordsvillians, or is there a different moniker we should be using?
You know, I'm not really sure. I've heard that term used quite a bit. That I know I was really objected to it, so I guess we'll go with it. I'm not sure that that's the official approved term, but it kind of works, I guess.
It does. Athenians, I know that's the high school's mascot and everything, and Crawfordsville is the Athens of Indiana, but Crawfordsvillians just has that ring to it.
Yeah, you know, and I guess not everybody in the city of Crawfordsville thinks of themselves as an Athenian. I mean, obviously you have other school corporations, and that's kind of attached to the high school, so, you know, people on other parts of the city might not really like that being labeled an Athenian per se, but I think that works. It's not something that we spend a lot of time dwelling on or discussing, for sure.
All right. So this month, Crawfordsville held its annual Strawberry Festival, the biggest local event of the year. Tell us a little bit about of the importance of that festival to Crawfordsville.
Well, it's a time for the community to come together and just, you know, kind of spend some time visiting neighbors and enjoying the food and enjoying the music, and it's something that people look forward to. In fact, I hear a lot of comments that maybe we need another festival that's similar to that in the fall, and you know, I think once Pike Place is in up and running, I think that'll maybe open the doors to more possibilities of gatherings like that. But you know, you definitely understand that communities want a sense of place and they want to come together, and Strawberry Festival is that opportunity for a lot of people.
So as the mayor, what's kind of your role in this? Does this present you any kind of opportunity to kind of connect with the population of the city at large, hear them out over anything?
Well, the mayor's role at the Strawberry Festival really changes by the hour. So, I mean, it's everything from, you know, kind of kicking it off with Flag Day ceremonies and speaking. And then, of course, the mayor always introduces the royalty at the festival. So that's something I look forward to each year. And I know all the previous mayors have looked forward to that. There's just different events. You sometimes kick off the entertainment. We have a tribute to heroes one evening, and I was fortunate to get to speak that evening. So, a lot of different things happening, and mainly just your presence and being involved and just making sure that things are kind of flowing, and that if the festival committee needs help with anything, that the city's there and ready to help them.
So economically, what kind of impact do festivals or events like these have on the city?
Well, you know, I've said many times before, I'm not sure we're particularly good at measuring that right now. We are finding our way through measuring it, and we've been having some success in measuring the impact of events. And the Strawberry Festival is not something that we've really measured, but, you know, without a doubt, it brings really thousands of people to our community over that weekend. And maybe not even for the festival itself, but all the spin-off activities, the softball tournaments, tennis tournaments, car shows, everything else that happens brings a lot of different people in. And when they're here, they may spend some money while they're here. Obviously, the hotels benefit, the restaurants benefit. But it also gives us exposure and brings different people to our community to see that good things are happening here. And you never know who that visitor might be. They might be somebody looking to invest.
So events like these can serve as a type of gateway to the community.
Very definitely, very definitely. You know, we think of the same thing with the motocross races. A lot of high-level people, corporate people, come to those races, you know, whether they have a vested interest in that or they're just a fan. And, it gives us the chance to put our best foot forward and show them that this is a great community.
So we've seen a lot of people put new businesses or promote new businesses in their own cities as kind of a big draw into the area. I wonder what your take on that is. What do you think is a bigger attraction event, like something like the Strawberry Festival or a new business or building or something like that? How do you weigh that?
Well, I think it has to be both. And certainly the businesses are day in and day out. And that's extremely important. If you don't offer the things people want in a community, they're going to look elsewhere. Festivals are are kind of feel-good things that happen in between and have some good results. So you really have to focus on both, but I don't want to undersell, you know, the importance of bringing good quality businesses in. And that's something that we've taken a very serious look at here in the last couple of years, in understanding that, you know, we have jobs available, we have careers available, we're working on the housing piece, and we talk about quality of life with Stellar. But at the end of the day, you still have to offer the dining and shopping and the businesses that people want in a community. And we hear it from young people all the time. I'd like to live here, but you don't have what I want. And we have to think about that and address that.
All right. So something that the people who live in Crawfordsville and have for a long time really wanted was a new clock tower to sit atop the courthouse. Montgomery County's courthouse recently got that. The old one was replaced. The original was taken down during World War II. And this took decades to finish fundraising enough money to replace it. The president of the clock tower committee, Sandy Laughlin Brown, is really being hailed as the hero of this project. Can you tell us a little bit about what her efforts and what the clock tower itself kind of means to Crawfordsville?
Well, her efforts, I mean, it's a true testament to, and I said this that day, that, you know, to persistence and patience, and, you know, sends a very clear message to, I think, to our young people that, you know, one person can make a difference, and it's not easy. You know, she could have given up at many different points along this route over the many different years that she's been involved in this, and she didn't do it. She stayed the course, and I commend her for doing that. Decades involved in this. But it does show, you know, if you want to make a difference, you know, don't sit back and give up easily and say, I can't do it. I mean, it took a lot of effort, a lot of time, and just tremendous persistence on her part to move this forward. And she is the driving force behind it. Would it have happened without her driving behind it? Yeah, I'm not sure. It definitely wouldn't have happened this soon, maybe someday, but it really took somebody stepping up and devoting their time and effort to it.
And she says most of the money raised was through grassroots fundraising. So a lot of, you know, citizens paying out of pocket saying, we really do want this. We will give money towards this effort. So with that kind of initiative going on to raise all that money, what kind of assistance was the city able to provide? Was there anything you pitched in on or any kind of support you were able to give that kind of grassroots movement?
Right. You know, and I don't think we've done particularly a good job of outlining, you know, exactly how this was funded, because there's definitely a lot of misunderstanding out there in the public. And I heard someone saying yesterday, oh, you know, there's problems with the streets and we built a clock tower. And those two things are not even connected in any way. So this was, you know, she raised money for decades, and she's right, it's largely grassroots. Now, there were some larger contributions that came in towards the end, and some of those have been published, and I know for sure some of those asked to remain anonymous. People gave gifts and didn't want, you know, to be recognized for doing that. The city's role in that was that the city made a contribution towards this because it's our downtown, and I know it's the county courthouse, but this is downtown Crawfordsville, and we need to, you know, pay attention to this and change the environment and change the landscape. But I'm going to put the asterisk here and note that the city's contribution is not, and I repeat this, not tax money. So every year I have the ability to go out and, you know, I get donations from foundations and from other groups who want to support what we're doing in Crawfordsville, and that's put in a special fund that the city council created, a promotions fund. And I've been able to fund the city's contribution out of that. So what the city contributed, yes, came from the city, but it's donations that I've received from people and groups who want to move Crawfordsville forward and recognize the good things that are happening here. So outside of that, the county put some money in, and I don't want to speak on their behalf, but my understanding is they issued a loan to the committee to finish this up, and that's being repaid. And I believe that the loan itself was money from their riverboat sharing fund. So it wasn't local property taxes or anything like that. It's money that the county had received from the state as their share of taxes from the riverboats. So, you know, really no local tax money in this at all. It's a grassroots effort to put this up and make our community, you know, look better and restore that pride.
Right. So Sandy Laughlin Brown actually mentioned that at the dedication ceremony about if you, you know, went out gambling, then you did contribute to the clock tower. And as of that ceremony, another $30,000 was needed to pay off that loan as of that day. And she was talking about that, you know, this total project cost more than $500,000. What's another $30,000? That seems like a doable goal from what she was talking about. So,
oh, absolutely.
It is in Crawfordsville's downtown. So what are you kind of hoping for in terms of a return on investment? Maybe not monetarily, but what do you want downtown to get out of this new clock tower?
Well, it fits nicely with the overall approach that we're taking. So if you think in terms of, you know, everything that Crawfordsville Main Street and our businesses in the downtown have been doing, and they've been doing a lot. You know, we had the combined sewer project last year and the rebuild of Green Street, and now you have the stellar projects with the two new downtown parks that are under construction right now. You have the trail, the downtown trail, which will start construction next year. You have all these pieces coming together, and our downtown is being transformed. It looks very nice. In most of the storefronts, with maybe two exceptions, are full right now. So, you know, it's part of that overall package, but this is kind of like the jewel up on top of the crown. And it's interesting, you know, I spend a lot of time trying to basically listen to the public and see what they have to say. And it's, you know, I would say 10 to 1 for it, maybe even higher than that. And even people who were kind of on the edge, like, you know, this is, you know, I don't know, it's okay, but I don't know if we really need it, but, you know, whatever. Now they are like, wow, this looks and sounds better than I thought, and you know what, this is pride in our community. This looks good. So it's just part of that overall approach to our community and our downtown.
Right. So coming from West Lafayette, which I was on the day of the dedication ceremony, you can see it well down US 231. So when people kind of focus on that or recognize it as soon as you hit that bend, does that kind of change people's minds? Like, oh, now that I see it kind of big picture.
It does, yeah. Yeah, and seeing it at night is a different perspective. I mean, it lights up, and that's part of it. And it's going to be really interesting to see what it looks like next winter when the leaves are off the trees. So you'll be able to see it even further out. You know, a lot of times the trees are blocking. Not that I'm looking forward to the return of winter. I'm not at all. But it will be interesting to see how that changes. I think you'll be able to see it even further out once we're into the winter.
Right. The phrase focal point was thrown around a lot at the dedication ceremony. Do you kind of see it as filling that position? Crawfordsville didn't really have a focal point until now, or maybe not as clear of one?
Well, like I said that day, I think that tower symbolizes and means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And that's good. That's the way it should be. And for many people, it does become that focal point. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And it says this is the center of, you know, everything else that's going on. That's definitely part of it. And now that, you know, the first week or two it was up, we didn't have the chimes running. And now the chimes are running and all that. And I've heard from downtown businesses saying, you know, it feels like it's pulling us all together in the downtown. We all hear that chime. We all have that sense of there. That was 10 chimes. It's 10 a.m. You know, when before you just lose track of the time in the day unless you look at your watch or the clock or something. But now you have that constant reminder, and it's a common experience for everybody in the downtown. Everybody hears that and is tied together by that, and it's a sense of community. So it means a lot of different things to different people, but, you know, that's good. That's the way it should be.
We've got a few more minutes with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. If you have a question for him, you can dial 765-496-1999. Send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. We do have a listener question who emailed in. PJ wants to know, when can we expect 231 to be cleaned up from winter? He says it's nearly June. There is sand and debris on the side of streets all through town. He says, if we want to live up to our history and new developments, we need to have clean, newly paved and painted streets, at least in the downtown area. Mayor Barton, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'm not sure. He says 231, so I'm going to assume he's talking about Washington Street. And if you are around Crawfordsville much right now, you know that, notice that road is being reworked by NDOT. They have a project underway right now to mill and repave 231 all the way through Crawfordsville. And obviously, anytime you do that, it's going to be a painful process. Part of the reason I think you're seeing some of that debris is that it's a state highway, but a lot of times they'll contract with the city to come in and sweep and clean that. That's not been happening because they're tearing it up. I mean, that's the bottom line. This is all being torn out. So we're going to have some rough patches this summer to get some of this stuff reworked. And that stretch of 231 has not been repaved for many, many years, and we're glad that they're doing that. They're working on the south side today, and traffic is problematic, but it's just something we're going to have to put up with to get a new coat of asphalt, a nice new smooth surface that they'll come in and paint and fix up. So I think that's what they're seeing, and that's my guess. And, you know, keep in mind, we deal with this all the time. We have a lot of questions about what's happening on 231 or on 136 and the stoplights and things like that, and they're state highways. I mean, they're totally outside of the jurisdiction of the city of Crawfordsville, and we have to really work closely with the state on those particular issues.
All right, I want to switch gears just a little bit now to talk about your trek around America promoting Crawfordsville as of late. Recently, you attended the 2018 Select USA Investment Summit. It's designed to promote foreign direct investment in the U.S., and this is the second year you've been, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So what was the difference in experience for you this time versus your first time there?
Well, I knew the lay of the land a little better in year two, that's for sure. You know, overall, I would say that this year's attendance was down, and I've not seen any official numbers or anything like that just from being there. There's certainly an uneasiness on the international front when it comes to investing in the USA, and that was apparent. Now, having said that, I will say that those who were there from other countries looking to invest in the USA were very serious about it, where, you know, in the past you had bigger crowds of people, but there were a lot of people sort of like kicking tires and just kind of, you know, milling around and trying to get a lay of the land and understand what was out there. Fewer numbers this year, but those who were there were very serious and they had projects. They weren't there just to, you know, kind of get a sense of things. They were looking to do something. So, you know, kind of went back and forth. For me, it's really an opportunity to spend some good time with the folks from Indiana Economic Development Corporation, be a part of their team. And, you know, when I'm there on the floor, yes, I'm promoting Crawfordsville, but I'm part of Indiana's team, and we're trying to bring things to Indiana. So that's an interesting perspective from me. And if there's something that comes across and it doesn't fit my community, and that frequently happened, you know, hey, I'm there to work just as hard to try to get them to look at another community in our state. And then, you know, of course, Governor Holcomb was there, and anytime we get a chance to have some, you know, face time with him and really communicate with him about what's working and maybe what we need to think about next in this evolution of how we promote our state is a good thing. So it was well worth it for me.
So what kind of results do you see after one of these summits? Is there anything tangible that you can kind of point to and say, this is a direct result of what happened at the summit? Has anything happened like that so far?
Yeah, when you have these kinds of things, what'll usually happen is you make a lot of contacts and a lot of exchange of business cards and things like that, and you have to keep pretty detailed notes so you remember what was what and who was who. But you do have some follow-up, and we've already initiated that when you get back. So, you know, I can't say anything direct yet, but we're in some discussions about maybe a couple of these companies who are serious about coming to the States might be coming to pay us a visit in Crawfordsville along with some other communities. So we're following up on those. And then, like I said, the other big piece is that you've spent time with Indiana Economic Development team members, and you know that as they're pushing projects out, they don't have an unknown quantity with Crawfordsville or with me. They know exactly what they have, and they're more likely to kind of start farming some opportunities our direction or have a higher comfort level because they know we're serious. We're not just a community sitting out there wanting everything handed to us. We're willing to get in there and work and make things happen.
So with all of these that you've been going to, you recently went to Atlanta, you've been to Japan also, all the talk you're doing with the Economic Development Corporation. Do you feel an increased pressure to come back with something really exciting or say, you know, here's kind of the payout from all of these? Is there any kind of pressure on you as the Crawfordsville representative here?
Well, I don't feel any direct pressure. I mean, certainly there's accountability, and you know, first and foremost, these trips are anything but fun. I mean, I'll come right out and say that. You know, it would be much easier to stay in Crawfordsville and not have to deal with the travel part of it. That's not a pleasant thing. And you know, for example, Select USA, I mean, a really tough schedule in those few days, and you're not getting much sleep, and you're on your feet all day. So, you know, it's tough, and airline travel is tough. I mean, it seems like nobody's on schedule, and there's that piece of it. But you know, I think the public here is very realistic in their expectations. I think they've come to understand that you're not going to go and come back with some big announcement after every event. This is a process, and it's a process that, quite frankly, we were missing from for many years, and we're trying to play catch up, and it is paying off. I mean, we have a lot of good projects that we're working behind the scenes right now that some of them spin off from what I've been doing, and some of them are other opportunities outside of that. And everybody's a little hesitant to make their final decisions right now. There's a lot of uncertainty in the business world, but I think you're going to see some announcements, you know, later this year, and some of those are going to affect us. You also have to remember that, you know, at the end of all of it, you have to have the workforce to supply to them if they choose to come to your community, and that's where, you know, we struggle sometimes, and not just us, many communities struggle. You know, we're dealing with existing employers who would like to expand, but they don't have the workforce. We met with an industry this morning here in our community that last weekend they ran 50% production, 50%, because of workforce shortage. People were not at work. So we've got to work on that piece, and we're working very strongly there, and it's tied to what you're able to bring back or not bring back.
We've got just a few more minutes with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. You still have time to call in your question at 765-496-1999 or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. I want to talk about the workforce shortage since you brought it up. A lot of communities are having that problem where once the jobs are brought in, the kind of challenge they're faced with is that there aren't enough people to fill them. So what kind of workers would you like to see more of in Crawfordsville?
Well, we need workers across the board and in all the different categories. We've become very aggressive with the workforce piece because I really feel that the communities that get out ahead of this are going to be successful, and those who are, you know, acting like the problem doesn't exist are probably going to be in trouble down the road. And we need technical skills, we need soft skills, and most importantly, we have to keep our next generation at home, and we've missed that for many years. You know, our young people have moved away in droves, and if we're going to have a workforce, we need them to stay here. And I have to explain that to the older generation a lot of times. We need things to keep them here. Whether it's something you think is important or not, it's important to the 22-year-old, and we need them here. So we're trying to hit it on many different fronts. But it is across the board at all different levels. We need to grow our workforce and strengthen our workforce to be successful.
So speaking of, you know, residents who are already in Crawfordsville, people you don't have to bring from elsewhere, there's something called the Indiana Career Explorer Pilot Program that's expanding to Montgomery County this upcoming academic year. What it does is provide online post-secondary education and career readiness resources to middle schools. One of the schools in Montgomery County will get it, Southmont Junior High School. So what's your impression of something like this, where you're doing it through the schools, kind of starting them early, getting them introduced to that type of work?
Our schools have become very valuable partners in this process. And, you know, many times we look at the generation, it's younger generation in the workforce, and we can see the mistakes that maybe we've all made collectively. And we're trying to go back to those who are still in school and not repeat those mistakes. And when we have our workforce meetings, all three of our superintendents are at the table, and they're very engaged, and we're identifying real solutions. And this particular opportunity is something that's been born out of that discussion. And we have to do more to reach those younger people, to equip them to enter this workforce and be successful. And, you know, there is tremendous opportunity out there today for a young person entering this workforce, if you can recognize it and do the right things to get in there and are willing to work at it. It's not going to be handed to you by any means. So this is an important piece of that. We have career coaches in all three of our high schools right now, which is huge. I mean, it's absolutely huge to walk students through career choices and understand and create a path for success. And that will create that pipeline of workers that we need and our employers need over the next several years.
So in our last couple minutes here, I want to revisit something that we have certainly talked a lot about, and that's blocked highway rail crossings. The feature on that was released on our website. We talked to Frankfurt's mayor, Chris McBarnes, about it. He's also having that problem. And I wanted you to respond to CSX's statement. The company said it faced operational challenges in Crawfordsville earlier this year and have since made changes to see that those blocked crossings are not blocked as long or as often anymore. What have you been seeing recently?
Well, there's two primary choke points in Crawfordsville, and with one, I think they have made some operational changes and it's gotten better, and that being Market Street or the three state highways, 136 and 32 and 47. So downtown area, it has gotten better. The south side has actually gotten worse. So, and again, you're in two different CSX divisions and it gets very confusing, but you know, the Elmore Street area continues to be blocked almost daily for anywhere from 1 to 3 hours. It was blocked again last night, you know, same thing. So I guess they're partially right, but yet partially not right.
So have you had any conversation with CSX recently?
Absolutely. You know, I had a meeting, very good meeting last week with corporate representatives of CSX. We met at NDOT in Indianapolis. Very good discussions about some potential long-term solutions and funding sources. And we're pursuing some of that. We're going to have some announcements here probably in the next month about how we're going to pursue that. But there's some funding out there at the state and federal level to address some of these issues. And the reality is you can't count on operational changes in the railroad to fix it. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's unrealistic. We've done that for decades. We have to separate some of these crossings and think about that. So those are not short-term fixes. I'm talking, you know, 8, 10, 12 years to get those fixed. But at least we can get the ball rolling and start moving in the right direction.
So as of right now, how would you describe kind of your attitude going forward?
I guess it's always cautiously optimistic anytime I'm dealing with the railroads. I mean, it's, you know, it's just tough. And I understand that they have a lot of turnover right now, a lot of corporate changes. So that's a challenge for me. I'll develop a good relationship with somebody and have a good contact and think we're making progress. And then their job's eliminated and we start over. So, you know, like I said, at Market Street, they're doing better. And I think they've addressed some of those problems. The other side of the city, you know, not so much.
All right, that's all the time we had today. Mayor Barton, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, you can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Greater Lafayette and Frankfurt. Be sure to send us your questions at ask@WBAA.org or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.